Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus at York College, City University of New York. Welcome you to this March 2nd edition to Vantage Point here on WBAI 99.5 FM in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's right, the York College radio station. Well, today we have a very special show. We're going to have the second edition of State of Newark Report. You're also going to be doing the kickoff for the Mobilization for State of the Black World Conference. First and foremost, just want to talk a bit about the whole notion of the Mobilization for State of the Black World Conference, which will begin this coming Saturday, March 7th, at the House of the Lord Church with a major rally we hope that you'll be joining with. And it's because we are focusing on Newark, and we're going to talk about that shortly as Mayor Roz J. Baraka will be joining us shortly. Senator Larry Ham, we call him Senator Larry Ham, will be joining us along with Frederica Bay to really talk about Newark, the progress that's being made in Newark, but also the impact of the focus of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century on Newark. And I want to talk about that just a minute because we believe that Newark, under the leadership of Mayor Roz J. Baraka, is one of the most progressive cities in the country in terms of policy. One thinks of Jackson, Mississippi, with Antar Chokwe Lumumba. One thinks of Michael Tubbs and Stockton. There are really a very few places where you have really strong progressive policies being enunciated and articulated in order to be about the business of fighting against gentrification, have equity and inclusion of all the different populations, particularly communities of color, black communities, black and brown communities that have historically been disenfranchised. And when we look at what has been happening in Newark, again, under the leadership of Mayor Roz J. Baraka, we see that happening. And we see, therefore, Newark as a model, a model. So this is not just sentimental. This is intentional in terms of focusing on a model that can be replicated across the country. And I think that's incredibly important because, frankly, there are a lot of mayors across the country, a lot of elected officials who may mean well, who may not know how to, in fact, effectively administer in a way that will actually be to the benefit of those who are existing in the city now. Gentrification has become a monster that is gobbling up cities. And Newark is facing its own challenges. But at least we know that the mayor and his administration is, in fact, working day and night in order to try to control this monster called gentrification, so that the cities who live there, we talk about development without displacing the people and the culture. And in this particular instance, the culture, black people and black culture. And we think that Roz J. Baraka is doing an outstanding job in doing that. So we're very eager to continue this work. That is why in 2016, we took the State of the Black World Conference to Newark, and that's why we're returning this December 2nd through the 6th to Newark again to bring focus and attention on Newark, but also to aggregate resources that can be effective in helping to supplement the progressive policies being elaborated and implemented in an amazing way, quite frankly, under the leadership of Mayor Roz J. Baraka. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're delighted that here on WBAI, on the first Monday of every month for the first segment of our show, Mayor Baraka has agreed to be our special guest to give us a report, a State of Newark report. And I got to tell you, the progress that's being made, the effort and the progress that is being made is amazing. So that is a benefit, frankly, for WBAI. Not that he doesn't appear on other channels. He certainly does. But we have the honor of having the mayor with us here on WBAI. SWBAI, you know, works to maintain its relevancy and its ability to continue to be a voice in a way that you don't have necessarily in other mediums. So that's what we're doing. That's why we're honored to have the mayor be with us. And again, we'll be joined also later on by, I call him Senator Larry Hamm, sort of facetiously, but not so facetiously, but also our dear beloved sister, Frederica Bay. So now we're very honored to have with us, joining us, the segment began wonderfully last month with Ms. Shoshana Page, who is the senior policy advisor and communications strategist. And she was kind enough to come on, and she had worked to make sure that the mayor would be with us today. So I'm giving a shout out to Mayor Roz J. Baraka. Welcome to Vantage Point.
Thank you for having me.
So, Mayor Baraka, I have to just start with that amazing men's breakfast, brother. And forgive me for being informal, but I'm just going to be that. I mean, I was invited to come, and you know, I expected 200 or 300 people. I had heard about the fact that you were having these events, and I really supported them and I appreciated the idea. Unfortunately, it was a holiday, and I misjudged what time it would take to get there. So it took me much longer. And so by the time I get there, I see this, like, not 200 or 300 people, over 2,000 black men in the Robert Tree Hotel. I mean, overflow all out in the hallways. It wasn't just the quantity. It was just what was happening as people were coming up on the stage and talking about their businesses. And there were even women who were there talking and challenging the brothers to support their businesses. And it was just an incredible, incredible event. And I had called Dr. Leonard Jeffries early in the day to remind him. And he, you know, came over, and he and I talked on my show the next week. And he just heralded the fact that this was one of the most phenomenal events that he had ever attended. So I not only want to congratulate you on that, but I also just want to share with our audience what the purpose of these men's breakfasts are, the men's events that you have.
Well, I mean, they're designed to empower people in the community, to get them involved in development and real estate and trying to get city, county, state, new public schools contracts. All the business that's going on in and out, in and around this city, trying to get them involved in it, you know, to be a part of it, to take a piece of it for themselves. I mean, a lot of times we talk about what people should do for us, and that's good. We do need to talk about that, because democracy is important. We ought to have what everybody else has. But this idea of self-determination get missed in that discussion, and then it's time for us to have those discussions. And that's basically what we've been doing. Gathering people together, and they've been benefiting from it. There's a host of guys who and women, by the way, who benefited from, you know, these discussions that we've been having over a year or so now. We've started their own businesses. We're now involving in city contracts. We're doing all kinds of phenomenal things because of this.
And I guess one of the things I was impressed with, and I say this because I'm not at all being patronizing. I mean, I see mayors across the country. I see how our elected officials function. And I know what people in my generation and your father's generation, frankly, envisioned when we looked for mayors and elected officials, what we had hoped for. And so you, to me, are being prototypical and are meeting that in a major way. So you not only talked about these opportunities, you were explaining to people what the budget is and what these different contracts are, and the fact that people should have a piece of it. You were saying, you know, this is what you should be looking to and encouraging people to understand the nature of the budget. And from the school board, that was sort of a separate entity, but you also sort of talked about that as well. But just giving people an illustration of what it is that people should engage in, and that they can.
And those people were present. And the people that was responsible for that was present at the meeting. So I called the procurement officer for the schools, the procurement officer for the city of Newark, you know, the property manager for the city of Newark. All those people were there. Other mayors, I mean, state officials, you know. So you could grab them and say, this is what you're interested in doing.
Right, right, right. Now, I know that our dear beloved sister, Reverend Roundtree, is a great spiritual advisor. But, I mean, has she been giving you some spiritual advice, too? I mean, you were like preaching up there a little bit, too, also. You were bringing it, my brother.
Yeah. Just talking. Yeah. Trying to inspire these guys. Because, I mean, it's part of it that's business. And the other part of it is we need to feel like that we can do this, that we need to be encouraged.
Right.
I mean, our existence in this place has given us natural discouragement. You know what I mean? We feel like we can't do these things. We don't have the ability, the capacity. And so we have to build each other up. That's another part of it, to build each other up, to strengthen us, to feel like we can get this done, to make us work together because we have a difficulty working together.
Right.
Make us work together and understand the importance of, you know, being cooperative in our quest economically. That's important. So
right.
Part of that is designed at that.
And so just on the question of the sort of the men's initiative and are there ways, because we have a significant audience, obviously, in Newark and the area as well, are there ways that people could plug in? Is there a website they should go to or anything in order to know what's coming up?
Sure. I mean, we have men's meetings every second Friday of the month without fail at City Hall, 6 p.m. in the council chambers without fail. Every second Friday of the month. Yep. And they could come and connect to that. And the sisters have their meeting every fourth Thursday here in the city. And then we do a joint meeting twice a year.
Yeah, and that's important. And that's important, too, because, you know, it's not just the men. The women are also meeting and then sort of bringing them together, which is another kind of thing that we just don't see that kind of leadership coming from our elected officials and mayors, you know, seeing themselves in that kind of leadership role, which I think is important, you know, to share with our audience in terms of, quite frankly, why the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and others that we are aggregating are really, really looking to Newark as a model for what can be replicated around the country. Now, the census is another, and let me just say to our listening audience that one of the things that happens is that the communications office every week sends out a This Week in Newark report. I may not be characterizing it exactly, but I get it every week, and I am just,
yeah.
In fact, my wife was looking at it. She was looking over my shoulder the other day, and she was just blown away. She said, wow, this has happened, that has happened. It is a comprehensive report of all the different kinds of things that this administration is doing. And one of them, understandably, is you are encouraging people to deal with the census. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Newark is historically undercounted. The state of New Jersey actually lost congressional seat because the entire state was undercounted. I mean, we are in a hard-to-count city, and we want to make sure that we get all of the resources that we are entitled to from the federal government. And we also want to make sure that we don't lose any congressional representation, particularly in this crazy place that we're in right now. We need to make sure we get as much representation as we can get and that we're getting all of the dollars that we need for education, for infrastructure, for housing. All these things are dictated by the number of people in the city. The state just passed a law that would allow us to now count people that are incarcerated from Newark. So that's beneficial. But we're trying to get everybody counted, homeless folks, people that are undocumented. Everybody needs to be counted. And, you know, people need to know the law that says that, you know, the census folks cannot use that information against you. They can't even give it to Homeland Security or ICE or any of those people. They have to keep it to themselves, or it's a violation of the law, up to 5 years in jail and a hefty fine.
Right, and I think it's important for people to understand, as you have already indicated, that this is the count. I mean, the orange man and the current administration tried to do otherwise by saying that that people who are undocumented should not be counted. That was obviously a strategy behind that. But people should be clear that the count is everybody. Everybody is supposed
every
to be counted.
Every single person.
If you're undocumented, you know, you should be, you can be counted. And again, the assurances is that because this is where they try to intimidate us and terrify people and have people be anxious about not doing it because they may be undocumented, they may have a record, there's all kind of things that people may be afraid of. But you're saying, and I'm saying too with you, that we need to count everybody
Yeah, everybody needs to be counted.
Need to be counted. And I know that there's some data that's being given out, and I don't know what it is for New Jersey. I saw something. There's a dollar amount, and it gets into the undercount, can get into literally millions and millions, if not billions of dollars.
Billions of dollars. That's right.
I mean, it's just incredible, the loss.
Yeah.
And again, this is another way of then marginalizing or keeping us in a marginalized state.
You know? Absolutely.
So we need to fight back. That's one of the ways of fighting back is to get that done. The other thing that I wanted to chat with you about was the lead service replacement lines, which, you know, I was really delighted at the height of the hysteria and whatever was going on that you came on, you know, the show, and we talked about it. And you talked about what was your vision was, what you were going to do. And again, it's a case of having taken a challenge, one of which is not of your own making, meaning your administration's making. It's a longstanding history of neglect and disinvestment and whatever. But you've turned it into something that is a model for the country. Please talk to us about it.
Well, we've replaced close to 8,000 lead service lines already in a short period of time that we've begun. You know, that's about 34% of the lines that we have to replace in the city. We're well ahead of the pace or the schedule that we intended on keeping. So, prayerfully, we continue that pace and we'll be finished far ahead of the time that we wrote down. We also have a significant number of minority or businesses working. I should say black and brown subcontractors and folks working on the actual replacing of the lines. People are standing to make serious amounts of money, even millions of dollars, because of their efforts. And we're working hard to make sure that the last contract we give out is not a subcontract, but a primary contract to, you know, a minority business here in the city of Newark. So we're working on that. We're doing the back office paperwork for some of these organizations. We're helping them stand them up and getting them ready to be able to be bonded at a higher level to do the different things that we need them to do in order to be successful. Mm. So there are people who will stand, and as a result of their preparation, they'll be able to work around the state, because there are about 60 other municipalities in the state of New Jersey that have this problem and that have already begun replacing lead service lines. And so this is going to be employment for the next 10, 15 years.
Right. And I take it that now there are mayors, no doubt, from around the country and people coming to now looking to Newark and sort of asking about how you're doing this.
Sure. They want to know how we got it done so fast, the fast pace. A lot of these places, like take Flint, they are probably right where we are, if not less, in terms of replacing their lead service lines. They've been doing it for 5 years. And that's because of the structures that they put in place in these cities that kind of siphons off the money here and there. It gives you a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there to fix the problem year by year, which makes it a process that's dragged. You're dragging it out 10, 15 years to get it done using these state kind of structures, infrastructure bank and things like that. We went outside of that, and it's difficult to go outside of that because you have to bond on your own and do all these other specific things. So, you know, just talking to other municipalities about how you can get these things done in a kind of rapid fashion.
Right. And the other thing, and this seems to be characteristic of the way that you have done the work, and I will never forget one of the things that I was really attracted to. I was with Danny Glover and some others at a fundraiser wave just before you were elected, but that slogan, "When I become mayor, we become mayor," wasn't instantly resonated, because it said it's not just about me. And in fact, you stressed that over and over again at the men's session. Yes, you talked about holding the line, and that it's not just me. It's a, and I also noticed that when it was came to the lead the replacement, that you actually asked people to become involved, to get trained volunteers to go door to door. You know, you weren't waiting for some other bureaucracy to do it. You say, "Look, we have to get this done." So, and that seemed to have worked out.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we did that, and a lot of people helped out and stepped up to the plate in the city, and you know, did what they were supposed to do and helped us get to where we are today. I mean, residents always help us advance our goals. Without them, we couldn't do none of the stuff that we're doing.
Right. And I wish you would speak to that a bit, just in terms of, because there are other structures, there are people's assemblies, and this just seems to be a series of these. You seem to be constantly in motion, getting people to internalize this whole notion that it's not a me, myself, and I proposition. It's a we, us, and our proposition, which is odd in a sense, because one of the things that I have said, you know, is, you know, I don't get no play on national television and all that kind of stuff. But I've said over and over again, elections in and of themselves do not equal democracy. Participation to me is democracy. But we have been we've been alienated. We have been sort of like elect somebody becomes a spectator sport, or we become apathetic because we don't see how it affects us without understanding that it does affect us, and we can change whether it affects us because we have to become involved. You are really stressing this question of citizen engagement.
Absolutely. It's necessary to get folks involved. I mean, unfortunately, people believe it's the government and them, and that's because the history of our relationship to government. That's why we always play in defense and we don't have any real offensive strategies. We have to be engaged like the city is ours, like we've taken control and we're building it. We always operate like we are a government in exile.
Mm.
Right? So, like the people of this community, and then there's the government. Like, once the people seized power in, you know, at least marginally in 1970, you know, when King Gibson became mayor, we still acted like we were outside of power. Right. And we have to act differently than that. I mean, part of it has something to do with how government is run. But, others of it is just our mentality. And then we allow other people to come in and perpetuate that mentality, as opposed to I'm going to pick up the hoe, the shovel myself and get in here and begin to build what we want to see.
Right.
But there's a difference between campaigning and running and pushing ideas as opposed to building them. Those are two different kind of, you know, skills, like to protest and rally for something to happen, and then to actually build that thing that you want to see happen is two different things transpiring here, right? After you become in power, you actually have to govern, and that's completely different, right? Because you're governing for the whole city. You're not governing for the 30 people in your organization.
Right.
So you have to figure out how to do those things, and then the people that are part of that, even part of that organization, have to figure out how to seize the apparatuses of government and begin to push their ideas and then hold the line.
Right. Now, on, I think it's March 16th, if I'm remembering correctly, you will be delivering your annual State of Newark address.
Yes.
And I'm wondering whether you just, I know you don't want to give the whole story away, but would you be kind enough to just give us a little sneak peek as to how you are seeing your tenure so far, or our tenure, I guess you might say.
We're going to use a lot of the data. We're going to show people the data points instead of narrated. I'm going to show the data from almost everything, from, about the consent decree and police response and police and community relationships to economic development to affordable housing to all the stuff that we've done, to show the data. So I'm going to show from 2013 when I, you know, or 2014 when I took office, all the way to present day, what the data looks like, the raw data, so people can see it, and then talk about that data and what it means to our progress and where we've come from and how far we have to go. I'm just going to lay it out so, you know, people can make a conclusion based on those data points. I mean, you know, even the consent decree stuff, the police complaints are down tremendously. The amount of money the city has to spend on lawsuits because of police is down almost 90%. I mean, all of those things we're gonna talk about. Show the affordable housing and the housing that's going up in the neighborhoods. We're gonna point that out and show people, what that's about. So
right.
And so we're going to go through all of those specific things, you know, even the budget itself. Like, you know, what was the situation? We were in dire straits when we came in here in 2014. We're not in that situation anymore. Just really point all of those things out.
Right. And I think that's so important in terms of a teaching experience, you know, for people to know that they're included, that they can learn. And that's one of the things that Charles Barron does, and he and his wife and partner, Councilwoman Barron, Inez Barron, do as well. They're always sort of educating people so that people know, you know, what's going on and challenging them to understand that it's about them as well. Well, finally, Mayor Baraka, as you well know, Institute of the Black World 21st Century has been focusing on Newark. We had State of the Black World Conference in 2016, Economic Marshall Plan and Economic Summit, and a Gentrification Summit that has resonated all over the country. And we're pointing to come back to Newark for State of the Black World Conference 5, the fifth in the series. We usually don't double up, but we're doubling up on Newark this time in December. So I wish you would just share with your audience what does that kind of emphasis mean, that kind of people around the country through initiatives like what we're doing with IBW. How significant is that? How meaningful is that?
Yeah, well, it's significant in that, you know, one, that you're bringing some of the foremost thinkers around these ideas together to begin talking about these issues and topics and share ideas that people could learn from, take best practices, particularly people that are progressive and, you know, left-leaning, could take some of this stuff home and try to build what they want to see in their community take place. Plus, it allows, in my mind, people to come to the city and see what's going on in Newark and hear about what's happening in the city of Newark at the same time and interact with folks as well. But it's incredibly important. I mean, these things have been going on for a long time. I mean, these things don't happen as much as they used to, like these conferences, these events. I mean, it used to be at least 10, 11 conferences a year.
That's right.
You had
That's
to
right.
pick from conferences that you wanted to go to
right.
That brought us all together, whether it was literature or politics or art or whatever it may be. We just don't gather like that anymore, which is unfortunate. But this is probably the last of many that I think we should try to continue to make sure that it stays alive and well.
Right. Well, you can bet we're working on making this one. You know, this one is going to be. I mean, the last one was hailed as extraordinary. We're trying to put together the infrastructure to make sure people wanted us to come back the next year and 2 years. It's hard because it's a major, major undertaking. Mm-hmm. But we are going to take this one to an entirely different level with your support, and many people are gathering around it.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we also always try to make sure that when we do these conferences, that it's open. You know, there's a registration fee and all that, but we always have sessions, whether it's the Economic Summit, the Gentrification and something and so forth. We always make sure that the people in the community can come and participate and touch
right.
people. And so we hope that that also inspires, you know, folk in the community to understand that people are looking at Newark, because sometimes people are not aware of what is going on underneath them, how significant it is to everybody. So
right.
we make a point of trying to make sure that people understand that. Well, Mayor Baraka, we thank you so much for taking time out of your extraordinarily busy schedule. Back
no
in the
problem.
Day, we used to take Geritol. So I don't know what you're taking, brother, but you're keeping up a tremendous pace and doing some tremendous work. And so we want to congratulate you on that, and rest assured that we in the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and here at WBAI in this segment that we're doing every month, the State of Newark Report, we hope it's going to be a valuable contribution to the work that you're doing. So thank you so much. Really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Mayor Raj J. Baraka joining us for the second installment, and he's already set for the segment in April because he's going to talk about, there's so much we could talk about, but there's a whole series of youth programs, including a summer youth employment program. So you want to tune in next month in order to grab a hold of that, because he's going to be sharing the information about how it is that you're going to be able to, you know, to plug in to those programs. So, again, we're very delighted to have the mayor on. We're going to take a short pause here and come back. And when we come back, we're going to have Larry Hamm and Frederica Bay, Senator Larry Hamm, the chairman of the People's Organization for Progress. Frederica Bay, of course, the founder of Women in Support of the Million Man March. We're going to take about a 3-minute break, and we'll be right back with those two dynamic, that brother and sister, from Newark, New Jersey. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, inviting you to attend a major rally as we launch the year of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and enlist your support for State of the Black World Conference 5 in Newark, New Jersey later this year. Speakers include Dr. Julius Garvey, Assemblyman Charles Barron, Senator Larry Hamm, Frederica Bay, Barbara King, Monifa Bandelli, Dr. Monique Swift, our Paramount Chief, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, and yours truly delivering the keynote address on embracing the vision and mission of IBW. Saturday, March 7th, 2 o'clock p.m. sharp at the historic House of the Lord Church, 415 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. Doors will open at 1:30. Free and open to the public. The contributions to support the work of IBW are welcome. For further information, call 718-429-1415. That's 718-429-1415 or visit the website ibw21.org.
It's Pacifica Bylaws time.
Are you tired of democracy? Tired of choosing people to run your station? The answer is autocracy. Autocracy. It's more popular than ever. Autocracy's working in Washington. It can work for you right here. No more messy debates. No more Pacifica family disputes.
Directors you've never heard of from places you don't know, chosen by people who are suing us in court. People from nowhere. They'll be running your station. They want to make Pacifica great again. But they haven't taken away your voice yet. Send a message to the people from nowhere. Vote yes for them to run your station without you. Or to keep your voice and your own local station board, vote no. It's still up to you.
Okay, we're back, and really hope people appreciated the interview with Mayor Roz J. Baraka. I just have the greatest admiration for what he and his administration are doing. It's not easy. It's not, I mean, I hope people will appreciate the inclusiveness, the whole question of engaging the people. And it's a long way to go. I mean, this is not an easy undertaking, but he is very much involved in getting it done. And again, we also wanted to just have him share the importance of the kind of focus that we have brought with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, you know, on Newark, with the State of the Black World Conference 2016. We had a major Marshall Plan Symposium and Economic Summit in which we were, you know, focusing on the idea of a Marshall Plan, which he called for and that we support in the Institute of the Black World, but also the getting people to invest in Newark. We still want to work on that idea, trying to get more people to come and invest, to assist in building the infrastructure and supporting, providing, bringing technical assistance where it's needed and within the context of the framework that's being done. But also the gentrification summit was just absolutely amazing. Now, of course, we need to build on it because, again, finding the resources becomes an issue, which is one of the reasons why we're asking you to support the Institute of the Black World 21st Century as we drive towards making State of the Black World Conference 5 a political and major economic success. But we are looking at Newark intentionally and delighted to do it. This is serious political work in terms of how we transform, you know, our communities. So we now want to turn to our guests who have joined us, two very, very dynamic people who are very familiar with the work that we've been doing. And I guess I should go to the senator first, Senator Larry Hamm, who is chairman of the People's Organization for Progress. Senator Hamm, are you there?
Good afternoon, Ron Daniels. How you doing? Dr. Daniels, how are you?
I can speak to my senator, I'm doing real good. And also one of the truly dynamic sisters that we have in the country, really, who has done such incredible work promoting the Million Man March, but also, like, I mean, everybody across the country came to understand the kind of work that could come off of the Million Man March through an organization called Women in Support of the Million Man March. And that is none other than our dynamic sister, Frederica Bay. Sister Frederica, you there?
She's not ready yet.
Oh, she's not ready yet? Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll continue with our senator. So, Larry, we just had the mayor on.
Yes, I heard the interview. It was a good interview, great interview.
Right, and I just want you to give your, you're a long-distance runner. You knew you worked with his father. You've been, POP is one of the most amazing organizations in the country, not only because of its longevity, but because of its persistent, consistent work on behalf of black people and marginalized communities. So you've seen a lot. So tell us, give us your assessment of just how well this administration is doing.
I think the administration is doing very well. I think that is attested to by the fact that Mayor Baraka is in his second term. He was reelected without a whole lot of effort. You know, the resistance to his candidacy was nowhere as stiff as it was when he was elected in 2014. He was reelected in 2018. He's had to withstand some major crises, including the water crisis. And as you pointed out, Dr. Daniels, that in fact, the situation was actually flipped. What could have been a situation that could have done him significant political damage by getting right on top of the issue and seeking help from every possible corner, county government, state government, the federal government. He was actually able to garner the resources necessary to do something that is unprecedented in the city of Newark, probably unprecedented in the state of New Jersey, and perhaps with the exception of Flint, Michigan, might be unprecedented in the country. He's actually moving to replace the lead service lines in every residential building in the city. And when that is finished, because it's not a question of if it's going to be done, as he said in his interview, 8,000 homes have already had new lead lines put in. When this is done, it is going to be a stellar achievement.
Absolutely.
So I think the Barack administration still enjoys a great deal of support, and you were a witness to that. I think that the men's breakfast, and I'm really upset that I was unable to be there to participate with everyone that was there, but I will certainly be at the next one. But you were a witness to the fact that you couldn't get in the place. And I know the Robert Treat Hotel, and I know the very large ballroom that the Robert Treat has, and it was filled to capacity. I actually saw a Facebook live feed from there. So even though I wasn't in the room, I saw through the FaceTime the number of people that were there. And you could even, through the video, you could feel the excitement.
Oh, man.
You know, in the room, everybody. And here's a point on this. Everybody else was as amazed as you were, Dr. Daniels, because they were holding up their cell phones, just sweeping the room so everybody who was not there could see what a magnificent turnout it was.
No, it really was. And the whole way in which, you know, stepping out of this sort of stiff protocol of being I be the mayor kind of thing, to just talk to the people, you know what I mean, and to inspire and encourage the people, you know, and say, yeah, this is dangerous. Because, yeah, a lot of people look at this and they say, well, what is this? How is this mayor functioning? But he's functioning as the people's mayor and challenging people to take this on as a collective proposition. And I know it's sledding. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just want to say, though, you know, being a student of dialectics, we understand that the opposite of support is opposition. So he has his naysayers in the city. He has his share of detractors. I mean, I don't want to give the misimpression that or misinform people that there is no opposition. Of course there's opposition. I mean, it comes with the territory. I don't care how good a politician you are. if you're elected in office, you're going to have some opposition. So he has his opposition, too. And a lot of the opposition is based on some of what appear to be some of those intractable problems that plague the urban areas of this nation. You know, and as you point out, he didn't cause these problems, but there's a certain degree of truth to the fact that the buck stops there, right? You're in charge, so you have to take the heat. And he's taking the heat. He knows how to handle his opposition. So there are people who are critical of the mayor, you know, and they are critical of me because I'm supportive of the mayor, you know. But it's natural. That's politics.
Yeah, and I guess the other part of that, too, is that one of the areas that I think people and he and we didn't I didn't want to tease it out. But, you know, it's one thing to protest. Governing is a different proposition.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and it doesn't mean that, I mean, but there's certain realities to governance, and you have to navigate those, and you have to, it's not like you can wave a magic wand and all of a sudden, you know, there is change, and there are contradictions, and so people have to be educated to the fact that, you know, because the mayor is progressive, because the mayor has a revolutionary history and ideology and background, he is navigating within a capitalist political economy. And he has
exactly.
to literally navigate within that. And that means that there are people, rather than some of the people who are ideologically aligned with him, sort of criticize him because you don't have instant revolution. It becomes their task really to organize the people and educate the people to understand what's necessary in order to have his back. Because when you have his back, it's not him personally. It's the policies. It is the ideas that you're protecting and advancing. And, you know, I sometimes think that there's a what we used to call back in the days a little infantile leftism or infantile sort of, and I don't say that disparagingly because people have to learn and engage. But this is not, it's like when you want to run for office, you know, everybody can run their mouth. And when you have to ask some people for some signatures, you get a reality check because a whole lot of people will say, get out of here. You know, and then you can go back and read the book. But the reality, you know, kind of sets in that regard.
Right. Well, and this is Mayor Baraka has his challenges, and many of the challenges that he has are the challenges that black elected officials, black mayors across this country have. And you alluded to this, Dr. Daniels, just a minute ago. These cities operate within the framework of the capitalist system. And quite frankly, in my humble estimation, the solution to these problems, many of these problems, lie beyond the boundaries of municipal government. The reality is that many states, not just cities, but many states across the nation are in fiscal crisis. Their intake is nowhere near what is required to deal with the problems that they face, the structural problems that they face in the cities, the counties, and the states. So, you know, this is a problem that, you know, goes all the way back to the 1960s.
Oh, yes.
You know, this is not a new problem. You know, the structural unemployment, the fact of the matter is that black unemployment is always twice what white unemployment is, that black people are 3 to 4 times more inclined to be ill-housed than white people, that the income of black families and urban families is 1/10 of the income of white families and suburban families, that urban schools are underfunded, you know, as compared to suburban schools. So these are problems that existed when the first black mayor in Newark was elected, Ken Gibson, and these problems exist today.
Right.
You know, and when you get in that heat, when you get in that seat, rather, the heat is on you because people are hurting, people are suffering, and they want solutions to their problems.
Right. Now, quickly, we just have a short period of time left, and unfortunately, I guess our sister Frederica was not able to join us.
She's ready.
Oh, okay. Well, now we're just I didn't get the cue on that. Sister Frederica, welcome to the show.
I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get the cue, you know what I mean? Unfortunately. But anyway, that happens. But now we're short on time. So quickly, your quick assessment of the mayor's tenure so far.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Allah much for being on with three wise men, Dr. Ron Daniels, Mayor Baraka, and Senator Lawrence Ham. I want to thank Allah much for that. And before you end, I just have to say everybody has to be at the House of the Lord Church on this Saturday, 415 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, this Saturday. Doors open at 1 p.m. For the prelude to the State of the World Conference. And I just want to thank Mayor Baraka so very much for breathing life into the legislation that's been there for decades, and that is that black minority participation in development, that white contractors can no longer come in the city of Newark and just take it over. They have to engage black minority participation.
Absolutely.
Which I am very thankful to be working with the Springfield Avenue Project. And of course, Larry, our senator, he is responsible for putting up that beautiful memorial for the brothers and sisters who lost their lives 50 years ago in the rebellions that happened primarily on Springfield Avenue. It was burned down for all the right reasons, and now with the help of God and our mayor, it's being built back up, and I'm very, very proud and thankful to be a part of it.
Right. So what I wanted to do is also, because I asked the mayor this question as well, but because we in the Institute of the Black World 21st Century are focusing intentionally on Newark. We did State of the Black World Conference. Both of you participated in it in various ways. The Marshall Plan and Economic Summit that we had, the gentrification piece that we put together. Talk to us about, to share with our audience from your perspective, what does that mean? I mean, is it influential? Is it helpful? What kind of impact does that have?
You're talking about the State of the Black World, of course.
Well, not only that, I mean, the various things that we and IBW have been doing, sort of focusing on Newark. And you've been involved in every, all both of you,
oh,
really,
my
one
God.
Way or another, have been involved in all of them.
Mayor Kenneth Gibson said, wherever the country goes, Newark is going to go first. And I really think that you're coming in. I will never, ever forget that feeling that I had. And what was that, 2 years, 3 years ago when you
It's 4
came,
years ago, 2016.
It felt like
races.
The Million Man March. It felt like, you know, a version of the Million Man March. It was so well organized, so well attended. The workshops were crisp, the town hall meeting, and, of course, Senator Lawrence Ham tore that up. but it felt like the Million Man March, and in the Million Man March, sister Maisha and I, we had been up, all of the women in support of the Million Man March had been up all night making sandwiches and everything for the buses. And so we were exhausted. And we went in at 10 o'clock and we laid down in the grass and went to sleep. And we woke up in heaven. And that's what it felt like at the Robert Trees Hotel. I mean, really, it wasn't just me saying that. Everybody that I know said the same thing. They were so uplifted and exhilarated. And that was just before, or was right after the election, right? And we needed to be uplifted and exhilarated right after the election. Everybody thought it was going to go one way and it went another. But I can't thank you enough, Dr. Daniels, because my grandson's 14th birthday was celebrated in Haiti. And that's because of you having the pilgrimage to the Citadel. You know, I just thank you. I thank the State of the Black World Conference. And God knows, I thank you for running for president. And if you ran today, I think you would be elected. I'm serious about it.
We got a senator to get in place first.
Exactly. And again, well, I voted for Bernie, and that's just me. Me and I'm one of the elders who voted for Bernie in 2016. And I was very, very happy to hear that our chairman is running on his ticket. and the women in support of the Million Man March, you have our full, complete support. Amina was talking about the first check she got was from People's Organization for Progress when she went off to college. So we love you, Senator, and we are with you 1,000%.
Right. Thank you. Senator Hammond.
Ron, I just want to say that the presence of the Institute of Black Wealth 21st Century in Newark, the several conferences that you've held in Newark, certainly helped to raise the spirits of the people, not just in Newark, but throughout North Jersey, because the participation was from people throughout the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area. But I think the real
phenomenal
highlight, the real policy highlight was the forum on gentrification. People are still talking about that forum on gentrification. As a matter of fact, I think that forum not only had a regional impact in terms of the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area, I think it had a national impact because people were already talking about gentrification, but that forum, that event, and everything that came out of it helped to accelerate the discussion, the national discussion around gentrification and the movement of resistance to gentrification all around the country. I mean, it's parts of it are still, and thank goodness for WBAI radio, because it's the only radio station that has continually played excerpts of speeches that people gave at the gentrification forum.
Right. And finally,
you know what? My niece, 14 years old, they're in California. We had a family gathering here in New Jersey. And she came running to me and hugging me so tight. She said, "I'm Frida." They call me Frida. "I'm Frida. I saw you on the gentrification, the state of the black world." And then I had forgotten that you had live streamed it.
Oh, yeah. It was
and it went all
C-SPAN
over the country. And plus, it was one of the major stations. Was it CNN that did that?
C-SPAN
covered
it.
Right. Oh, C-SPAN. Right. Because you announced it there.
Right.
And, I mean, she came running and hugging. And then, you know, her mother and father, my niece and nephew, they were telling me that the whole family saw it. And many of their friends in California saw it. And Larry's right. I mean, that was powerful. Dr. Malvo, I mean, you just had all of the greats on there.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons why we're pushing towards Saturday, this major kickoff. Both of you will be there as speakers for us. As a good organizer, of course, Sister Frederica, you already sort of talked about it. And I'm going to turn to Senator Hamm to also talk about the importance of the kickoff rally we're going to be having this coming Saturday at the House of the Lord Church, where he will also be speaking. So you got a minute, and I need a minute to close out.
All right. Well, all roads lead to the House of the Lord Church in Brooklyn, and everybody should be there because we need to give our support, and especially our financial support, to the Institute for the Black World 21st Century so that it can continue to do the phenomenal work that it has been doing, raising issues that affect the black world. So everybody needs to be there. I'm going to be there. Sister Bay is going to be there. Reverend Daughtry, Mayor Baraka, everybody is going to be there. So we want everyone from the listening audience to join us that day and at that time.
All right. Well, I got a minute to get out of here. So thank y'all for coming on, and I appreciate it. Yeah, and we'll see you on this coming Saturday. So as we close out, because we have a hard out at in really 30 seconds, we really do urge the listening audience. You heard Senator Saham talk about the fact that you heard the gentrification summit here on WBAI. And we anticipate WBAI partnering with us as we build the largest, most successful State of the Black World Conference ever. But it begins on this coming Saturday, March the 7th, at the House of the Lord Church, 415 Atlantic Avenue. You're hearing the PSAs being played. You know, where it will be Assemblyman Charles Barron, Larry Hamm will be there. Also, Dr. Julius Garvey, the son of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, will be there. Monifa Bandelli, a series of, and Dr. Leonard Jeffries will. It is a powerhouse lineup of speakers. But the goal is to help equip and enlist you to support the Institute of the Black World 21st Century as we drive towards the State of the Black World Conference. And we're going to be declaring this year, 2020, the year of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Now, you can go to the website, ibw21.org. Go to the website, ibw21.org. You will see all the information you need, but also sign up for the newsletter because we want to enlist you in this army that is going to be marching towards Newark. And what a worthy place to go. We are seeing Newark as a model city. This is the Professor. We'll see you this Saturday at the House of the Lord Church and again next week here on Vantage Point. This is Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, inviting you to attend a major rally as we launch the year of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and enlist your support for State of the Black World Conference 5 in Newark, New Jersey later this year. Speakers include Dr. Julius Garvey, Assemblyman Charles Barron, Senator Larry Hamm, Frederica Bay, Barbara King, Monifa Bandelli, Dr. Monique Swift, our Paramount Chief, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, and yours truly delivering the keynote address on embracing the vision and mission of IBW. Saturday, March 7th, 2 o'clock p.m. sharp at the historic House of the Lord Church, 415 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. Doors will open at 1:30. Free and open to the public, the contributions to support the work of IBW are welcome. For further information, call 718-429-1415. That's 718-429-1415 or visit the website ibw21.org.